He struts like John Wayne, resembles Jim Carrey, and dresses like he's visually impaired. Because he is. Insight. Insight with Mark Farrell on the Progressive Radio Network.
Yeah, I guess I do walk a little bit like the Duke, John Wayne. Hey, it's Thursday morning in New York City. It's Mark Farrell, and it is 45 degrees. I feel like it's March, and I feel like spring is right around the corner. But unfortunately, it's not. But I tell you, I was thinking about spring the other day because the days are getting longer. It was about 10 of 6 the other day when the sun finally set. I was like, wow, this feels incredible. But spring will probably never smell as sweet as it will in 8 weeks or so. Because the, you know, hellacial winter we've had in the tri-state area is pretty bad. I mean, actually countrywide. I mean, what happened in Texas last week? Unbelievable. And our guest, actually, Liz Vassy, told me she actually had to wear a sweatshirt last week. Imagine wearing a sweatshirt or a winter coat in California. Yes, Liz Vassy, you know the name, and you certainly know the face. Two-time Emmy-nominated actor, and she's making her director debut with her new film, The Human Race. It's a phenomenal movie we're going to get to in just a few minutes. But let me tell you this. If you need a spark, if you need a pick-me-up in life, an inspiration, a reason to feel better, whether you're an athlete or not, this movie is for you. I watched it in complete awe, and my 8-year-old walked in and said, "Dad, what are you watching?" I told her a little bit about it. She sat on my lap and was glued. And the rest of my family watched it, and they were just over the moon with it because it's about way more than running, especially now in the world that we live in. We need to be reminded of all the greatness in life. And you know what it comes down to? Character, integrity, the intangibles that we possess. And maybe it wanes in some of us. And this is a great reason to watch a movie, to get that reignited. The Human Race, coming up right here on Insight. Thank you so much. My name is Mark Farrell. It is Thursday, and we are psyched to have you. And I cannot believe how much news Tiger Woods is getting. Now, first off, let me say, I wish him all the best. I think he's an incredible, phenomenal athlete on every level, almost to a fault. But do we really need to be following his doctor's daily updates? I mean, leave the poor guy alone. I mean, he's going to be out of golf if he's ever back in on a professional level and at the same tier that he was before. It's going to be 2-3 years away. I mean, he's got rods in his tibia, broken leg. I mean, so many different conditions. They said he won't even be walking until 3 months or so. But then again, you know what? He is Tiger Woods. So he will defy the doctor, certainly. And he'll probably be up and walking in 5-6 weeks. The longest. Because he is just, he's a machine. He is totally a machine. And I feel bad that, yes, his documentary came out, what, about 2 months ago, maybe? 6 weeks ago? And it's really well done, by the way. It's very sad. Sad on many levels because you saw his life from an early childhood, adolescence, teens, and his dad really, really corrupted him. Is he the golfer that he is? The goat? One of the goats? Certainly in golf. Yes. But there is a substantial price to pay. Is it worth it? I can't imagine myself growing up like that. But you don't know any better, right? The bubble that you're in. The Tiger Woods bubble that his mother didn't know entirely everything that was taking place. The father certainly did. And what he procured for his son was just, I'm a little bit speechless on that aspect. Oh, man, to say the least. But, you know, it made him the athlete that he is. The 10,000-hour rule, I mean, he probably far surpassed that. But I just can't believe how much the media is focusing on, well, he was coming around this corner, and evidently, or maybe he was possibly doing X, Y, and Z. He crossed this lane, and he rolled. How many times? I mean, the speculation is incredible. I understand maybe if they found a vial of cocaine and a lot of empty bottles, and he, excuse me, his blood alcohol content was through the roof, but none of that seems evident. So the guy obviously either was just not paying attention. Maybe he was on his phone. Who knows? He had an accident. He survived. He sustained a lot of injuries. Okay, let's move on. There are other things in the world to talk about. What else can we talk about? Oh, yeah. A pandemic. Oh, that's right. Over 500,000 people have died. But let's focus on Tiger Woods, his future regarding a tiny little white ball. I mean, come on. So have we learned anything else? And I hold the media to the fire. They're accountable for this. Do we really? Or maybe they think it's a great distraction from everything else. But I just don't understand why there's so much focus on this. Maybe if it was Donald Trump, I could understand that. Laid up, maybe with life-threatening injuries. Yes, that would be a very, very topical story that people would probably be interested because people either love him, I don't know how, or despise him. I do know how. So I just don't get it. And I hope they get over this very quickly because, I mean, I've kind of pulled back from the news in general after the inauguration, maybe a week after that, because I just needed to bring it down. Take a step or two back, and we all need to do that in a lot of things in life, whether it's a relationship. And this is a good thing because we know there's a professional, there's a grown-up in the White House. There's actually two grown-ups and actually a lot more than that, highly qualified people making intelligent decisions. And I love how the fact that Biden is making the findings of the American who was killed in Saudi Arabia public because Congress had asked Trump to furnish this a long time ago. And it's by law, I think they have to. And Trump just did not. He just squandered it, just sat on it. All right. So very happy to share with you an incredible conversation I had with Liz Vassy the other day on something that's very near and dear to my heart. And it's going to connect with you as well, whether you're an athlete of any discipline or just someone who needs a good spark in life. This story and this film will make your day, week, or month. Liz Vassy, it is just awesome to have you on the program.
I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
So you're a runner, but it's not running that really inspired you to do this film. It's actually your mom and what happened in 2012, which is the genesis of the human race.
Yeah, I basically been athletic for most of my life, but I started to, I noticed that the people that I deemed real runners, you know, like the people that really took it seriously, they always had a bigger reason for doing it. I always noticed there was sort of for mental health, for spiritual reasons, it was sort of like meditation. And I'd always wondered because I'd never hit that point. And then my mother was very ill and there was a long period where she was in the hospital. And she passed away in 2012. And my mom and I could not have been closer just all through life. She was if not my dearest friend. And she passed away and I was obviously devastated. And running, I tell my friends, it kept me vertical. It gave me a reason to get up in the morning. You know, people talk about the steps of grief. What they don't tell you is that grief doesn't really have the decency to be linear. Like I sort of thought you'd go through anger and then you'd go through bargaining and then and I thought it would be tidy and it's not tidy.
No, a lot of overlapping.
No, it's a lot of overlapping. And I found that the running really helped, particularly with the anger. You know, I got to just go run it out and leave it on the pavement. And it was so valuable to me.
And what a great way to hit the reset button daily, as you found out. And you determined, you know what, you turned 40, maybe not that long ago. And you said, how much longer can I run? And how are older runners doing it? How are they doing it? Then you decide to have this journey. The cover runners from six different runners across the country that are above 50. What a great concept. And was it easy to find these runners?
Yes, it was. It was much easier than I thought. I mean, one of the reasons this whole idea came to me, in addition to wanting to pay homage to my mom, I keep in mind, we were going through some rough patches as a country. Mm. And I thought, well, I can complain about it a lot, which I did and do, but I, less, more, I don't, not as much anymore. I just thought I need to put something light and bright into the world. And so I wanted to find these runners and I wanted to hopefully hopefully instill some hope in people. And I just put out a tweet and a Facebook message and just sort of made it public that I was looking for runners over 50. And I mean, I was just gobsmacked. I got so many responses. And what it told me was that these people really wanted to be seen. Not to be celebrated, but just to be seen, to show what humans are capable of. And so I was so thrilled by how many people contacted me. I mean, enough that if I wanted to do a part two, I could do a part two, because so many stories, I just didn't have time to tell.
And it's incredible, because all the different mantras and how they celebrate life. And again, as you just underscored, it's not about them. It's their higher purpose and what keeps them sane every day, how we reset and how we stay positive, especially, as you said, during an era that, man, this world is still upside down. And as we discussed leading up to this interview, everyone needs an outlet. And mine is, you know, exercise as well. I mean, I am a better version of myself after every workout. And I think everybody who works out can honestly say the same.
Absolutely. I tend to say it's like my coffee, only I like coffee as well. But I wake up in the morning and it's just natural. I go for a run. And my husband and I have talked about this at great length. We talked about, you know, we travel a lot. And there was one place where it didn't seem like I was going to get a good run in. And
oh, no.
I know. He was saying, maybe we spend today apart.
That's
just
funny.
Massive difference. And one of the reasons also when we travel that I love to run, I just feel like it's such a great way to learn about different cities and countries and get to be a part of them. You
absolutely.
Know?
I mean, you're a travel junkie. I mean, this is something that, you know, runs through your DNA. And so many different aspects of the human race. Your debut directorial movie is fascinating because you incorporate a doctor and it also speaks about the important and significant components, which a lot, certainly up to this day, has not been underscored about how it's necessary, not only recommended, necessary to stave off dementia and many other illnesses in your 80s and 90s to run or some form of cardiovascular exercise.
Yeah, I found it fascinating. I wanted to talk to doctors just out of sheer curiosity and also to make sure that people were hearing the right message. I'm not purporting that running is this panacea. It's just that the clearest way that somebody put it in the documentary, and we had a great talk about this later, was that it gives you a reservoir. You know, a lot of people are genetically inclined to have some problems. However, if you're taking pretty exquisite care of yourself and you're running and you're trying to eat well, chances are you will go through whatever that challenge is a little more easily. Chances are, you know, and it also was interesting to talk to one of the women in the doc was running a half marathon for her 80th birthday, Velma. And she literally says, I was running from Alzheimer's because everybody in my family was diagnosed. And she's sharp as a tack. And other women were saying, you know, I run because I had high blood pressure. I run because my doctor told me I had to get moving, and now my labs are coming back so much different. And so, you know, the proof was right there, and the doctors just supported that.
When you came across the Tampa Running Club with Debbie at the helm, were you like, these women are so cute, I just have to have them in the film?
Well, the thing that I really liked, I read a story about loneliness and about what a plague loneliness is. I mean, particularly now, right, with people stuck at home. But God, I wish I could remember the exact number, but it's something like smoking half a pack of cigarettes a day, I believe. It's as bad for your health.
Yeah, brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal. And so this group of runners, it's terrific. This is their family. And they get out there and they're hysterical. They talk the whole time. I mean, they'll run 6 to 8 miles and they just da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, and solve the world's problems while they do it. And it's about a lot more than just the running with them, obviously. And it seems to be working because they're like a gaggle of teenagers.
Absolutely. It's a coffee clutch. It's a great release. And as you know, you moved to New York at the young age, ripe age of 16, to star in a soap opera, which was phenomenal. How palpable the energy is in New York City. And you start the film, The Human Race, in New York City, which is a great ode to the city that you love. And it also is a great platform for the world to see and experience one of the greatest marathons in the world, the New York City Marathon.
You know, it was fascinating because I reached out to Catherine Switzer to see if she wanted to do anything, like even just narrate the documentary.
The icon, Catherine Switzer.
I mean, you know, she's been a feminist icon of mine. She's a running icon. She was the first female bibbed entry to run a marathon. And in a time when women were literally being told that long distance running would make them grow hair on their chest and they'd lose their uterus.
And then physically removed, I'm sorry to cut you off, physically removed by the race director in Boston.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a famous picture that we use
in
the doc where she's being pushed out and her boyfriend, you know, pushed the guy away and she finished the marathon and she said, I would have done it on my hands and my knees if I had to, because she knew at that moment she was doing it for her gender and she wanted to prove something. And so she's extraordinary. So I reached out to her and I mean, I just cold emailed her basically, because after being in the entertainment industry for so long, you just sort of grow impervious to no. You just, what's the worst thing they can tell me? No.
Just go for it.
Yeah. So she called and she said, I would love to do it, but instead of narrating it, would you like to follow me while I run the New York City Marathon at the age of 70? And I said, why, yes, I would. And so we followed her doing it, and the race directors were great. Everybody was terrific helping us get footage and be there and right there at the finish line. And we were so taken with it that my husband and I ran the marathon the next year, which is one thing for me. I'm not a marathon runner. I run pretty much every day. But
you're a 10K-er.
Yeah, I'm a 10K-er, but it was extraordinary for my husband because he was not a runner at all. And he did it sort of on a dare, but he did all the training and we ran the whole thing.
Great for him.
Together. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, you know, I always said that I've done 2 New York City marathons, and it's funny because I don't want to sound like a New York City snob, but I can't imagine doing a marathon in any other location because you have millions of people pulling you through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
everything.
Yeah, we'd been told, but we didn't know until we were there. Like one friend of mine said, write your name on your shirt.
Somehow, oh, yeah.
People will scream for you. And she said, and you don't know, at mile 18, it's going to make all the difference when somebody says, go Liz. So I wrote my mom's name. So people would yell, go Nancy. And I'd think,
fantastic.
Keep running. I don't know that I'll run another one because I honestly don't know that I need to. If I did, I'd just want to run New York again.
And Liz, this is probably something that underscores the whole reason why you did this film, is because when you were running off the 59th Street Bridge, you probably heard this noise and you're like, what is that sound? I've never heard something like this before. It starts out very slight and it's a cacophony of noise. And then you realize as you're coming down a ramp, these are crowds and throngs of people, pandemonium for you and the 50,000 other people running in the streets of New York City. Incredible.
It's incredible. And then you then run, and right after you hear this cacophony, you look up and there's a sign that says, remember, you paid to do this. And I thought that
this is recreation, right? You volunteered to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I always say that the marathon is everything that leads up to the day of, because it's all the countless hours, the training, the sacrifices away from your husband, your wife, your kids, work, sometimes overcoming injury. There's so many different aspects of it. Then the day of, you're susceptible to so many different things happening. So I celebrate the marathon the night before it. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I did my marathon. Let's just see if I can have fun tomorrow.
Oh, that's great. It's a great way to look at it. Also, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that, not that I don't share my time. My husband and I just say, we won because they gave us a medal. So clearly we won. but Catherine kicked my ass. She 70 years old and her time was fantastic. And she also, not only did she run in that amount of time, but she also said, yeah, but you know, I stopped to give interviews. So I was a little bit slower.
She ran and won in 1974 in New York City.
Yeah. And she did it when, I mean, having not run them both, I can't know, but she went around the park. It was purely in the park at that time. It wasn't out in the city streets. So she'd never run the New York City Marathon out in the city streets. She'd only gone around the park. What is it? Is it
6 miles?
Yeah. So she had to, they did this for a training run too. So I think it was 4 times in a little bit around the big circle in the park.
Correct.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. So, she said that was pretty challenging.
Mike is in a movie. He's 56. He was told when he was at a very young age that he has club feet and he could maybe run a mile or so. And this guy is running 100 miles. That's just unfathomable.
And he's doing it in the mountains of Colorado.
Oh, yeah. 9,000 feet above sea level.
Yeah. 9 to 14 at the end. 14,000 feet up. And it was really, because I'm a glutton for punishment, I woke up the days that we shot really early and I ran a little first. And it, I mean, my time on my normal run, I was probably 12 minutes slower, if not more, because it's so hard to breathe up there. And he did the Hard Rock. Well, it actually is the Hard Rock 100. And he did the Hard Rock 100. And the most heartbreaking part of this race is that if you don't finish within a certain amount of time, which I believe is 48 hours, you're basically, it's like you never ran it at all. So you only—
Yeah, you're DQ'd.
Yes.
Can you imagine that? Yeah, putting 39 hours in there like, sorry, womp womp.
Oh my God. So we followed him running that. And I thought, I'm exhausted just following him around. So I can't even imagine. He's an amazing, amazing example.
Oh my God. Absolutely shining. So, and also I wasn't aware that the movie revealed that age is a big variable when it comes to altitude and exercise.
Yeah. He talks at great length about that, about the special things that he has to do for his digestive system, for circulatory system. It's a whole different game, after 50, but you know, I can't tell you if he does it or not, cause people are going to watch the movie, but he runs the race. And several other people there were over the age of 50 as well. So it can be done, and it is being done.
Well, there's a lot of great mantras in the movie. Movement is medicine. Mm-hmm. I love that line. And I also love the fact that, I mean, this is common knowledge to people, but this really is emblematic, your film, of it's never too young to start, especially with all the evidence out with staving off dementia, cognitive issues, that blood flow, endorphins. One of the talks I gave yesterday to a senior population was on exercise and how significant it is to keep the body moving. I mean, an object in motion tends to stay in motion, and we just have to keep doing it. And what a better way than showing, you know, different incredible people in the movie, The Human Race, like Helene as well. Helene is just somebody you just want to read about, you want to watch, you just want to listen to and be like, wow, is she human? What planet is she from?
Yeah, she was the first person that signed up to do the doc. And we actually ended up shooting it a couple months earlier than planned so we could follow her as she trained to run. She'd already run the perimeter of the United States, and she was training to run all the states in the middle across them. So it was her goal to run across all 50 states. And we went to watch her train, and she trained at a facility in Arizona, and I've never seen anything like it. She'd just gone through treatment. She's had cancer bowels, and she was going through another round of treatment. So she'd just gotten a port removed from her chest. And she went in and was training, and I mean—
Like an animal.
Oh my God. And then I tried to squat with her, do those wall squats.
Yeah, I was watching you. How'd you do there?
I do them now to this day. I try to do them because I thought, I gotta get better at this.
Oh, they're great wall squats.
They're terrific, but she was so wonderful at them. And it just, this training was just insane. And they didn't even train her through running, which I thought was interesting. They were building up all the muscles she'd need to run distances like that, because she basically would run a marathon a day for a while. She is an extraordinary example of the triumph of the human spirit. And she talks about rethinking impossible, which is also one of my other favorite things from the movie, is just rethink what your definition of impossible is.
And I love that, you know, at that age, 57, that what initially inspired her is when her initial diagnosis was delivered to her. She didn't want her kids to see her mother, their mother, being ill.
Yeah, she talks about how she didn't want to, she didn't want to have them looking physically down at her if she could help it. She wanted to have them look up, and she didn't want that to be the memory of her. And so she just started running, and then she fell in love with it. And then she started speaking at cancer hospitals. And so while she was running across all the states, she would also set up speaking engagements and go.
Because when you're not running, that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Not like rest and recuperate.
No, she needs to put on 6-inch stilettos and a skin tight dress and go down.
Man, she does have it going on, doesn't she?
Oh my God.
And that smile.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
beaming smile is endless. It's just incredible. And Jose, what a great story of a father doing everything under the sun imaginable for their offspring. His son is autistic and who wants to run. And he started taking up running so he could ensure his son doesn't get lost.
Yeah. And it was, wow. That was a really surprising day because I first started talking to Coach Pat, who was training Jose. And I was telling him that one of my goals with the doc was to follow people. I didn't want only superhuman runners, quote unquote, in this doc. I didn't want it only to be people running.
Sure. Everyday people.
Right. I wanted it to be people doing some 5Ks, 10Ks to show, because honestly, doing anything is better than doing nothing. And I wanted to show that you don't have to be a marathon runner, you know, get up and walk around the block, but just do something. And so Jose was my, basically like a couch to 5K. And Coach Pat introduced me to him and we sat down and started talking. And I so clearly remember that day because I thought, oh, everybody over 50 has a story. I mean, you can't put in that many years on the planet and not have a story. And because I was shocked. I had no idea about his son. I had no idea why he started running. I just knew that he had started running. And it was such an interesting thing to find out that he was doing it for the love of his son. And he was going to run this 5K with his son. And then the coach talks about how much the son had improved through running, just his confidence level and his ability to look somebody in the eye. And it was a remarkable story. And the two of them are just wonderful. And I'm in touch with every one of these runners still today. Like we just
have
this inexorable bond now after doing this. I just adore them, all of them.
And I think that's one of the beauties of being a documentary maker. It's just a whole different level of connection. Yes, of course you want people to see the movie. Of course, it's nice to make money and to afford the next film you're going to make, but it's a different level of connection when you're doing something very intimate like this.
It definitely is. I mean, I come from being an actor for 30 years, and then now I write scripted stuff. You know, the documentaries were never part of the plan. It was just something that it was a story that I wanted to tell. And it's really interesting. You follow these people around, and of course, you know, you can't fit everything in the documentary. I spent far more time with these people than you'll see on screen. And you really truly start to care. Elaine is the woman who was training for the marathon at the age of 84, I believe at the time. And I'm sort of a spoiler, but there's an injury situation. And you know, you get so emotionally involved with these people. And so it actually becomes like, you think you're being told on the one hand, you know, oh, tell a story that's dramatic and interesting. And you're like, no, I just want everybody to be okay.
Yeah, want it to be real.
Yeah, you want them to be okay. And she is. And but it was just interesting following these people through the attempt to actually attack and finish their goals.
Liz Vassy is my guest. She's a 2-time Emmy nominated actor, writer, and director. Her new film and first film is The Human Race. Liz, talk about Elaine. She's 84, and you must have a real good connection with her because she's a real New Yorker. And she also had some health issues, but she is one determined, intrepid person.
Yeah, Elaine loves weight training, like absolutely loves it at the age of 84. Now, Elaine had gone through cancer herself, and that's when she took up running because her oncologist was a runner and she thought this might be interesting. So she also signed up for the New York City Marathon. It was like Helene, you know, the diagnosis sort of
exactly.
Her off when she felt and to do it.
Sorry to interrupt you. And I love how passively that happened. She just saw her surgeon's or her doctor's running clothes in the office. And it sparked the thought. How cool was that?
Yeah, it was great. And she thought, well, I think I'll just try it. And so I think she finished, and she talks about it. She laughs about it. I think it took her almost 7 hours to finish the marathon. She hadn't been a runner, you know, but she wanted to try it. And her husband passed away and her twin sister passed away. I mean, she's been through so much, and running is a buoy, you know, like I always describe grief as being waves, and you try and find these buoys in life that can keep you afloat, you know, because the waves just keep hitting. And she talks about how she uses running. And so she was going through the process of healing from an injury, and she was sort of sidelined for a little bit from running training. And I followed her into weight training. And the most interesting thing I remember from following her was that I had to be sure that her face could be seen while she was doing this insane number of push-ups, because I thought nobody will believe it's her. If you don't clearly see her face,
wow,
people think I got a body double, because no way can an 84-year-old do this, but she does. And
did she crank out?
Oh, I, you know what? I don't remember, because she did so many different types. She would do them on an incline, like her hands on the floor and her feet up on a weight bench. She did normal ones. She did ones on the machine. Like she, I have literally never.
Most impressive. Wow.
Yeah.
Going back to Mike, it was amazing to see that he started that organization where he ran across America and would plant a flag, an American flag, every mile, salute, and do this whole procedure every mile on so many different levels. That just makes my heart go, whoa, man, this guy is just an amazing human being.
He is. We did a premiere night, and he flew out here to be part of it. A lot of the runners did, and people applauded for that part of the story, because he did plant a flag and he tells this story. And I looked, because I'd never watched this movie with a crowd before. I looked around after he tells this beautiful story, and I won't go into detail about it because I want people to watch it, but somebody, a family member of one of the soldiers who had died, you know, he's planting a flag for that soldier. A family member tracked him down on the run to thank him. And he tells this beautiful story about it. I looked around the room and everybody was crying. It's just what he did is so intensely moving and so selfless.
So poignant.
Yeah. And as much as you love him on screen, he's probably 10 times better in real life. He's just absolutely lovely. And my husband and I both have remained close to him to this day.
You've been on so many incredibly popular and successful shows as an actress. When you're at a premiere for your first movie that you've directed, I imagine you've been at multiple premieres, and you may have looked around to see people's reaction because you're in that movie as an actor. But now you're behind the camera. Obviously, a documentary is not scripted. You have an outline. You're kind of weaving around that outline and how it takes shape. But how was it to sit there or stand there? I'm sure you probably couldn't sit and watch the energy of the room and see the reactions and see what culminated over a period, I'm sure, probably 2 years to make something like this come to fruition.
It did take about 2 years. People kept talking to me about editing, and I kept saying, well, scripted television, it takes, you know, it takes about a month. It can't take, and they're like, no, it takes you 8 months. And it did. It took 8 months to edit it. In a word, it was terrifying. I mean, you're taking your baby, you're putting it out there.
Yeah,
for everybody.
Sure.
And I specifically thought two things. I thought, number one, I am not going to have a glass of wine before this, because I want to be completely aware and I want to be able to take note of everything that's happening, because you don't get this moment back. And I want to really watch it. And on that same note, I thought, right before I got married, I remember the minister that was marrying us said, don't forget to remember details. He said, you are going to forget this day and this big blur, so pick out tiny details that you will always remember, and you'll have them as touchstones in your brain, which was really great advice. So I did the same thing before this premiere. And then once I got the first laugh and once I got the first cry, I thought, okay.
I'm fine.
This is good.
I'm ready for Oprah now.
Oh God, it was just the best night, and to watch the runners be celebrated the way that they were. And we had a whole red carpet where they could walk and people could get pictures with them. And it's a night that I will never, ever forget.
Liz Vassy, is this something that you vacillated with in terms of throughout your multiple decades in front of the camera about one day actually directing something? And if so, was it in a certain subject matter?
It wasn't directing that really spoke to me. I'd written a lot as a kid, and I started acting because I was in the hospital for a long time with E. coli, actually specifically something called hemolytic uremic syndrome when I was very young. And I went into the hospital gregarious and came out very shy because, you know, trauma. And I was very,
yeah.
Being on stage helped me quite literally find my voice. I sang in musical theater and I felt more comfortable up on stage. It sounds so strange, but it's absolutely true. And there are a lot of us out there like this, where you just feel more comfortable being somebody else and expressing your feelings.
Sure.
through that than you do as yourself. And so it saved my life as a kid, you know, like it gave me this outlet. So then I sang when I auditioned for All My Children, and I got on a soap, and I always thought I'd be singing on stage. And then after the soap, it was wonderful. I came to LA and I got in a pilot, and then I kept working in television and didn't look back. I loved it. But then on CSI, something interesting happened because my executive producer asked if I wanted to write an episode. And I said yes before I had a chance to say no. And I did it, and I just thought it was transformative. I absolutely fell in love with it. And it was at a period of my life where I'd been acting for so many decades and appreciated all those decades, but I needed something that fulfilled me a little more creatively. And it did that. And after I left CSI, I wrote a pilot and I sold it. And since then, it's been 6 pilots, a TV movie. I have a movie that's in development right now. I have a documentary series in development. So producing and writing is really where my heart is. But that said, if the documentary series goes, I would love to direct an episode. I had a great time doing it, but it's really the writing that that has me right now.
Liz, do you think it was all those years as an actor that gave you the perspective and the acumen when you sat down to write a episode for CSI that basically said, you got this, because you can visualize it and you can almost interpret the voices of the perceived actors and actresses that you're writing for?
It definitely, without a doubt, helped a lot. I mean, I'd taken some writing classes, I've read every book on the topic, but just, I mean, the same way that I took acting classes for years and years and years, it's not the same as being on set. So once they're just different things that you learn when you're on set. So having decades of reading scripts and dissecting them sort of by osmosis, it wasn't even that I was conscious of, oh, you know, I feel it coming up to the act end. Oh, I feel, oh, here's a surprise, there's a twist, but it starts to seep in. And so you sort of just feel it in your bones. And dialogue in particular, was actually easier for me because I'd spent so many years taking other people's dialogue and trying to make it my own that you just sort of, it's muscle memory. You just sort of get used to it. I mean, I walk around doing scenes all by myself looking like an idiot while I'm writing them, but you know, acting everything out, but it definitely made it easier for me.
Liz Vassy, how psyched were you when you read that Runner's World wrote that your movie, The Human Race, is one of the top 20 best running documentaries that will inspire you to run?
Honey, we're going out tonight.
I was so flattered because I love Runner's World, first of all. I love the magazine.
Great magazine.
And also, you know, it might sound really goofy to say this, but I was just happy because I'm so happy that these runners are getting this attention. I'm glad that people are by them as I am, because I truly do love them. And I think about them all the time. Whenever I'm going through anything that feels like a challenge, I think of these people and what they do, and they've helped me. I mean, I told Helene that I kind of hate her a little bit because I cannot be lazy anymore, because I think, oh God, Helene's already up. She's probably run half a marathon by now. She's
so true.
She's halfway across Idaho. And so they've changed me, and I'm really happy that they seem to be having that effect on other people as well.
And my daughter came in this morning when I was watching your movie, and she automatically said, hey, Dad, can I sit on your lap? I said, sure. So we're watching this in my office, and she goes, Dad, you don't run anymore. I said, oh, but I love to run because, you know, I have a knee issue right now. And I'm like, but you know what? This movie's about running, but it's about way more than running. She goes, what do you mean? I said, it's about the impossible. It's about living life to your fullest. What do you mean? Well, all these people are running, but they're doing it for more purpose than just running 1 mile and sweating and staying healthy. And I explain that, and this movie does such an exceptional job of articulating that. And going back to Catherine Switzer, who's 70, who's an icon on many different levels, who started an organization, 261 Fearless. 261 was the number, the bib she was awarded when she ran the first Boston Marathon as what they perceived was a man. And she never gave a lot of credibility to that number. And of course, it gained momentum that you'll learn throughout the movie. And that alone, it just has its own platform and following and significance.
And you're absolutely right. It's not about the running. It never was about the running to me. It was about again, the triumph of the human spirit about what we can do that we're not even, we don't even know what we're capable of. And I do believe that if you can see it, you can be it. So to show people, these people doing things that we all would never really even think about trying to do, it can raise your confidence in a lot of ways. And so Catherine 261, you know, yeah, she's getting a lot of women in countries where they've never run before to run. Is it about running? Partially, but mostly it's about women's rights. It's about women feeling equal to men. Mm-hmm. It's about women.
Oppression.
Yeah. And so, you know, what she's doing, I think is so praiseworthy, and it's getting bigger and bigger every single year. And she's boots are on the ground with her too.
Oh my God. In every aspect,
you know,
yeah. And to think that her coach one day said, you know what, this is not a sport. Marathoning is for men, and talked about all the physical things that could possibly happen. And then realized that, you know what, she is the real deal, and said, if you want to do this, I'm there for you.
Yeah. Well, after she had to run with him and prove that she could do it.
And then she outran him, and he collapsed after a 30-mile run.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I love it.
And yeah, she's, and look, I did press for this movie. I went around with her and did some press for this movie. And we would get there very early in the morning. We'd do press all day. And then I remember very specifically in Florida, she was like, I'm going to run across that bridge. So she went for a long run in the middle of the day in Florida. So she is something. And also, it just as a side note, because I think she's just an amazing human being. She is so kind to everyone. Like, even when she didn't know I was looking, she's just this light, and she gives a little bit of that light to everybody. So it was actually kind of poetic to watch.
Yeah. That speaks volumes about someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Liz Vassy, check this out. I did a little math. I'm far from a mathematician. 1,074.2 miles. You know what that is?
No.
That's the amount of miles Catherine Switzer's run only for a marathon. 41 marathons times 26.2.
Wow.
And isn't it funny that it worked out as a 0.2?
Yeah, it really
because
is.
Because a marathon is 26.2. And I explained to my daughter this morning what the 0.2 is. I think it's, was that 360 something yards?
Yeah. 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 She says that in the doc, we're talking about her being ready to run. And she's like, I think my legs have put in the miles. You know, I've been training, my legs have put in the miles, and I'd never really looked at it that way before. But again, it's muscle memory. So her legs had put in the miles, and we followed her in an 18-mile training run in the park. And yeah, she did it. She did it.
What about the movie was sudden and or unexpected for you to learn and or to see kind of evolve when you were shooting one of the runners in the film, or was it just the subject matter itself just took on a whole nother gargantuan meaning?
That's a really good question. I think the biggest surprise was the fact that every single person had such a strong why as to why they were doing it.
Yeah.
And it was never because I want to fit in a bikini or because I want to, because it was never aesthetics. It was a deep-seated need for all of these people for very different, sometimes really emotional reasons. And Velma in particular, who, you know, was 80 doing this half marathon, she didn't start running until she was over the age of 50. And I thought that was another important thing for people to hear, because I think so often in life, I mean, look, I live in Los Angeles. They make ageism here. And like, this is where it's created. And I think it's to show that, no, you're not. There is no over the hill. You can keep doing things. You can start doing things, you know, in new things at any age. So yeah, all of that was surprising. And then, I mean, from the technical aspect, sure. I have never... this was a labor of love. So it's not like I had a huge crew. I mean, I had a wonderful DP that I happened to be married to. I had an amazing editor. I found a great composer, but I was basically a one-woman production office, and I'd never had to do that before. So, you know, I'm talking to the distributor and they're saying, well, we need these deliverables and this, and I need it and this. And I'm going, uh-huh, uh-huh. And I got off the phone and I had to Google everything. I was just going, I don't know what this
is. That's great.
I've never done post-production in my life. I mean, I know I'm married to a cinematographer. I know, and I've been in front of the camera for a lot of years. I know about that, but I didn't know about everything that goes into like the minute details that happen after something is sort of in the can. it's a lot.
Well, you know what I really love about your movie? The simplicity fact. And I think documentaries sometimes get a little bit lost and try to overproduce. And this is raw in its rawest form. And I don't mean that in a malicious way at all, because cinematography, the shots in Colorado, the road shots of Helene, the gym shots, I mean, are just so well done. And I, as a music person, totally appreciated the string music that accompanied a lot of the pivotal scenes that really just didn't steal away from it, but it kind of bolstered everything.
Yeah, that was sort of important to me too, because I realized that I wanted to, I mean, not to sound so ridiculous, not to get too thematic about it, but there was something so classy to me about strings, but I wanted them to be played a different way. There's a group that I happen to love called Black Violin, when they play, it's not pop, I guess it's more like soulful music, but they do it with the violin. And so they're taking an instrument that people think means one thing and they're using it a different way. So I thought, well, that's actually great for this, because we're taking these people that a lot of times people sort of put them in a box and think about them in one way if they just saw them on the street, and we're showing them doing things that nobody would ever expect. We're showing them in a different light. So I really wanted the music to reflect that. You know, I wanted it to be classy, but I wanted it to be tough, and I wanted it to feel like it was ageless, but I also wanted it to have drive. And so I think we accomplished that. Yeah, it was a tiny little merry band of us, but we I don't mean that literally, we didn't play the instruments, but
figure of speech, sure. No, it was well done. It wasn't an impediment. Sometimes music can be an impediment, but just well produced all over. In terms of the doctor, I love how he was talking about how frailty, our society, really, number one, 2 points, really does a disservice for senior citizens. I mean, these are people, maybe they're not on the top of their game, but they have so much of life experience, seasoned professionals, many, many people who could do so much for our country. That's just Mark Farrell's perspective. But number two, the perspective of frailty, how when you become a retiree and you're in your 70s or 80s, that you should slow down, take it easy, but, you know, God forbid you have osteoporosis, you know, you're frail. But no, you know, being healthy, being physically fit, cognitively and physically, is so paramount. And I love how this really underscored this in the movie.
Yeah, the doctor, particularly Dr. Freeze, who I know sounds like a Marvel supervillain, but
he does.
He's lovely. He's the one that did the 20-year longitudinal study of 500 runners against 500 non-runners. And he followed these people, like I said, for 20 years. And what he found was that running actually strengthens the knees, and running actually, you know, helps even more cardiovascularly than you would think. And of course, there are the outliers. They're the people who had, you know, pre-existing conditions or football injuries, or, you know, there's always a way to say, no, that's wrong. But in huge numbers, the runners did better than the non-runners. And he was really surprised to see that. And he's also incredibly active himself. And so his two points. One was basically use it or lose it. You know, you need to be out there using your body. And again, it doesn't have to be marathon running. Just take the steps instead of the escalator, you know, just be more active.
Exactly.
And his other thing was, and I loved this, I thought this was important. I talked to him because I said, I run more than anything else. Should I be cross training? And he said, how do you feel? And I said, I feel great. And he said, if you can promise yourself to listen to a pain message, then you need to take a break if something hurts. And a lot of runners get so into it that they don't, and they want to power through it. And Debbie, Coach Debbie, says that no pain, no gain is the worst saying on the face.
Absolutely terrible mantra.
Yeah, if there's pain, stop it, go home and rest. So I love that the doctor said that too. He basically was like, your body will many times tell you if you're in trouble. And of course he said, you know, cross training is great, train different muscles, but don't be scared of running a bunch of days in a row. If you're really loving it, it's doing you far more good than bad. And your body will send out some signals that you need to take a break when you need to take a break.
Absolutely. And I think cross training for me, most importantly, is psychological, because you need to break up the momentum. Because, you know, how many runners do you know, Liz Vassy, that are so habitual? You know, it's such a kind of a mindless sport in a way, because all you need is a pair of sneakers. Mm-hmm. And then you don't even have to really think about your actual activity, because that's part of the love and beauty of running, is that you can escape and not even actually think about what you're doing. Like when I'm riding my bike, 30, 50, 80 miles, like, you know, I'm switching gears and I have to dodge traffic. Like, you really have to think about things in a different level. But running, I think, is visceral in a different capacity.
Yeah, it's to me, the ease of it is the reason, one of the reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Much, because I take sneakers and a heart monitor, you know, like I said, when I travel, and I go out the door and I get to see things that I wouldn't normally see. And it's also, you know, my sister was relatively vehemently against exercise, and she started walking because of this movie. She watched these people and she'd always thought, well, it's going to be competitive, or people are going to look at me and laugh if I try to run. And what she saw was this sort of, you know, sea of support. I mean, most, I don't know about you, but most athletes I know, like, I think there's this sort of strange misconception that if you go to the gym and you're out of shape, that people that are in shape will laugh at you. I've never met those athletes. The athletes that I've met, the ones that go, fantastic. You're in here for 10 minutes today instead of 5 minutes yesterday. This is wonderful. I mean, it's such a supportive group. And
absolutely.
And so my sister, she got over the fear of it, and now she's walking almost every day. And if there's the best thing that I can pick from this whole documentary, it's that, because I love her dearly and I want to.
Yeah, fantastic. And going back to people who would be laughing, those are the same people who are cowardly and write very hurtful things online. Those are the same people.
You're right. Yeah, those are the people that would then go and be keyboard warriors behind the egg on
Anonymous.
Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've met some of those.
And
yeah.
Of course, you can walk away from this movie feeling a lot of different things. Inspiration is number one. But I think it's, as we've alluded before, that it's not a competition. It's about a love and embracing of life, of whatever they are, whoever they are, whatever they do. I think it takes them to another level. That's why they were part of this movie, The Human Race, to convey that, to show, yes, it's about being physically fit and feeling good, but look at what else my concentric circles are doing.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It's very much Helene's, it's all their stories, but
yeah.
I was so struck when Helene talked about how if there's an obstacle in her way, she said, obstacles come, but I'm going to go around it, or I'll go under it, or I'll go over it, but I'm going to get past that obstacle. And I thought it was such a beautiful take on life. And she lives that every single day. And to a great degree, they all do. All of them are just out there surprising people. And even some of their family members have told them, no, you should be more careful. So one runner in her 60s talks about how her mother, who's in her 80s, keep saying, oh, you know, you're gonna wreck your knees, you're gonna wreck your hips. And she says, Mom, I'm 64 years old. I've been running for 30 years. When's it gonna happen? And I thought, it's really funny. She's
so true.
With her mother about it.
But. Yeah. And P.S., sedentary lifestyles, the same exact thing could happen.
Oh, yeah. One of the doctors in the doc talks about, and I actually don't know if this is in the film, but I loved it. It might've been as we were leaving, but he was saying, I'd rather deal with a shin splint than heart surgery. And he said, you know, which one was this? I don't remember which doctor this was, but he was talking about how it's so important to be active, that if you do have an injury here or there, it's a lot easier to heal from those injuries in general, generally speaking, than it is to have a heart that isn't used to moving, lungs that aren't used to breathing, you know? And I thought that was a really good point.
And also how everything gets reversed in your 80s and 90s.
Yeah. I thought
that was pretty powerful.
Yeah. Very powerful. And that you, again, you know, you're never too old to start. You start even at the age of 60, and you can do such great work for yourself. Dr. Freeze talks about the compression of morbidity. And I loved this as a way to look at it too. If you're going to live 100 years, you to a great degree have some choice here. You can live 60 years where you're great and active and wonderful and, you know, and everything feels good, but you're not really exercising, you're not really taking care of yourself, you know, but you get to 60 and then you can have 40 years where it's a lot of struggle. And his whole thing is, why not give yourself, why not hedge your bets and why not be active enough? So maybe you can get 95 really great years.
Yeah, man.
Morbidity down to 5.
What a great run.
Yeah, I thought it was great because people will say to me with running and exercise, they'll say to me, you know, you're going to die anyway. And at first I go, oh, really? But then I
might as well be happy while I live.
Exactly. And I might as well be active and feel great. I don't feel my age. I feel wonderful. It has added to my life in numerous ways.
The Human Race is available on Amazon, iTunes, and a gazillion other platforms possible, right, Liz Vassy?
Yeah, it's out and about. They got us out there. Some of these platforms I've never even heard of.
I know. It seems like SNL skits sometimes, right? The names of them?
Yeah, exactly. I think, I don't know who's watching this, but oh, okay. You know, like redbarn.com. I don't know.
Like what? Are you kidding me? So yes, it's about running, but it's about life. It's about embracing humanity. It's about seizing the moment. So check it out yourself. Check it out with your family. I'm actually going to watch it tonight with my entire family because I think it's a powerful, moving message, especially for kids. I'm trying to be, they know me, I'm an exercise junkie, but to further plant the seed of movement and community and how it takes a village and how you can accomplish anything as long as you put in those, what, 10,000 hours?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
So Liz Vassy, you've won an award for writing. You love writing. You're exceptional in front of the camera. And now you've proven exceptional behind the camera. So are you going to keep tackling all these different projects in a 360 manner? Or are you going to be focused in one certain direction?
I try and do as much as I can. My husband laughs. I'm not very good at sitting still. So I tend to have like
join the club. Yep.
Yeah, I'm juggling about 7 different projects, mostly writing projects. I have this movie that I wrote that's been gaining traction, and we have an actor attached now for the lead. We have a director. And so we're heavily into development of that. And I'm absolutely thrilled because I'm prouder of this than anything I've ever written. And so I'm happy that it is getting that traction. And I have a documentary series and I've attached some exciting people to that too. So hopefully that will be coming in the not too distant future. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm happy that I've switched my focus to writing, especially during all this quarantine time, because I've been absolutely just slammed busy in a great way. And I keep thinking, oh my God, if I was still acting, I'd be going nuts. I mean, you can
oh my God, yeah. Good thing you have, a lot of different chops.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you share the theme of the documentary series?
I will say that it battles bias. I'm not allowed to talk too much about it yet.
Oh my God, how timely.
Yeah, but I don't like anybody telling people what they should be. And mm-hmm. so that fits in with the human race too. Just don't tell people what they're capable of. And so this is don't call people something and expect them to stay in this box because we're all, I mean, it's such a spectrum and we're all equal and we're all in this together. So, there's a saying in South Africa, Ubuntu, that means I am because you are because I am. And so I really believe we're all in this together and we need to respect and allow people the room to be who they want and need to be.
And lastly, Liz Vassy, the name, the human race, love it. Did it come naturally?
It did. I'm thrilled.
Isn't that great? I love that.
I was trying to figure out what to call it. And then suddenly I thought of it. And, when you have an idea and you just know it's right.
Like yep, it clicks.
Yeah. And so I was happy I think it was late one night, right? It was right about when I was about to fall asleep. And then suddenly you shoot up in bed and you're like, I've got it.
Write this down quick.
Exactly.
You know, I share a mantra that it took me years and years and years, Liz, to articulate because of I was born with a rare visual impairment, and all these different struggles like we all have in life. But then I realized one day when I decided to branch out besides radio and start a motivational speaking business, and 5 words are so applicable for me, they're applicable for you, and certainly applicable to everyone in your movie, the 6 incredible personalities. My difference makes me stronger. And how it couldn't be more evident than the film that you've made.
I consider that a huge compliment. So if you feel like this movie in any way lives up to that that mantra, then I'm thrilled.
And thank you for, I mean, just creating this and putting this out in the ether. I think it's going to have remarkable success. All the best to you.
Thank you so much. You too.
Unfortunately, we are completely out of time. Thanks so much to Liz Vassy, and thank you for the hang time. Gary Knowles next. Keep living and laughing.
Insight with Mark Farrell. Check out this and all Insight shows on the Insight page at PRN.FM. PRN.FM. Have Mark speak at your company, your kid's school or college. Mark speaks on critical topics that affect kids and adults everywhere, from anti-bullying, mental health, drugs, and alcohol to overcoming adversity. Visit MarkFarrellMotivation.com for more info. Insight, Thursday mornings at 11 on the Progressive Radio Network.